Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Conrad Martin sitting in for Jeff Davis. I'm here at Radio Entrepreneurs, and today we have Greg Stoller at Boston College. Greg, how have you been?
Hi, Conrad. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, my friend. Greg is involved with Boston College, and he's going to be traveling the world over the next few weeks or pretty soon. And Greg, I thought you could tell us where you're going to be going, how that's going to affect Boston College, and what you're hoping to get out of it.
Absolutely. Thank you. So this is the International Management Experience Program. It's a program that I have personally been running for well over a decade, and I always say to people, you, Conrad, as well as our listeners, that I really genuinely appreciate the opportunity. I mark my calendar by it. This year's trip, we change the countries and the companies every 2 years, or every year, I should say. This year's itinerary in order is going to be Hong Kong, Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam, Seoul, South Korea, and Beijing, China. And I have just over 20 companies confirmed for our MBA students.
That's fantastic. So now, how many I assume you're bringing students with you, Greg?
Correct. So this is actually a 3-credit course, and I have 21 people, including myself, in our delegation. That includes faculty, staff, and the students. The students have previously participated in about a 7-week preparatory course where we have profiled each of the companies and each of the individuals that we're going to be meeting. The students have researched a number of articles pertaining to each company or individual. They've briefed the rest of our team. They just completed a semester-long quiz, and now they're going to meet with the companies and then write a paper at the end of it, sort of summarizing and crystallizing their takeaways from the experience for 2 weeks.
That's fantastic. And you've been running this course and this type of agenda for, did you say 10 years?
Well over 10 years. So I think this is going to be my 13th or 14th annual IME. We also run a consulting course that we've talked about on this broadcast in January of every year. That has also been going 12, 13 years strong. And what I try and do, at least with the May trip, which is the one that's coming up, is I don't want to continue going to the same well, to the same executives year after year. So I use what I call a two-and-out policy. I will tend to go for to the same cities 2 years in a row, then immediately switch for the next 2 years to give everybody a break. So just as an example for this upcoming experience, we've been to Beijing last year, and in 2014 we're going. So most likely in 2015 and 2016 we'll go to Shanghai. We went to Tokyo in 2012 and 2013. This is an off year for Tokyo, so we'll most likely return to there in 2015.
Okay. So can I ask more specifically some of the companies that you're going to be visiting? Can you give myself and our listeners some highlights as to what companies, what do they do, and what the students are going to be getting out of that?
Great question. So what I try and do is cast as wide a net as possible in giving the students an opportunity, as I say, to kick the academic tires and really receive a master class of how to do business in Asia. So by design, every year I try and have small companies, entrepreneurial startups, as well as large behemoth publicly traded corporations. Some of those are going to be publicly traded on the exchanges within the countries that these companies are domiciled in, i.e. on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange or on the Chinese Stock Exchange in Shanghai. Some of them are going to be American multinationals that happen to be doing business over there. Some of them are going to be government agencies. Some of them are going to be entertainment companies. So the opportunity is, if you are an MBA student who either won't get back to Asia on his or her own initiative, this might be the one and only time that they really get to experience Asia-Pacific business up close and personal, or if it's someone who has interest in working in the region as a future role, this will hopefully be an opportunity to get a master class in small doses of exactly how things are done without just reading about it in the textbook.
That's fantastic. That's got to be a lot of work setting that up.
Well, it is, but I just love the challenge, and that's honestly part of the reason I change the companies in the country so often, is it's fun for me to look at a blank slate. I usually start the planning process in September or October in preparation for May, and it's fun. And each of the companies tends to present for an hour or an hour and a half, followed by Q&A for another half an hour or so. Additionally, we try and have C-class executives, whenever possible, talk to our students, and it's really... I have a huge sense of satisfaction and a lot of jet lag, but that's neither here nor there. After the 2 weeks are over, and then reading the students' work is just icing on the cake for me.
That's fantastic. I love the concept of like bridging the gap between here and the Asia Pacific companies and countries, and showing students from here how the rest of the world operates. With that said, the students that are going, you said that they're all, this is an MBA course, correct?
Correct. So this is not a shopping excursion. This is not a sightseeing opportunity, and certainly not a binge drinking concept. This is a class, and the students have, we've been very impressed this year at the quality of the preparation, and the students have really dotted their I's and crossed their T's in terms of preparing. Each of the participants is in charge of one company, and then their job is to pepper the rest of the team with media articles as well as PowerPoint presentations or update. On the bus ride to each of these visits, they then will rebrief everybody in terms of what's changed since their classroom presentation was delivered until now. And it's a class, and it's fun to sort of see what they thought Company A was going to be like, hearing their presentation, and then reflecting on it after the fact.
That's fantastic. So then the students get graded on this through the process, through your mentoring, et cetera. You're going to take a look at what they learned and grade them on what they present back to you?
Correct. So the grading is multifaceted. They get graded on the quality of their in-class preparation, in terms of their PowerPoint presentations content, in terms of the articles, then in terms of their feedback, class participation during the course. Then, of course, they have a quiz that is meant to summarize all of the 20-plus companies and individuals that were presented. Then, of course, they're going to be graded during the excursion itself in terms of how well they ask questions and how they handle themselves. And then they have an opportunity in the final paper, as I mentioned before, to summarize, crystallize, sort of give an overarching impression of, thought this company, this country was going to be this. Now that I visited it, I have an alternative view, etc. And in many cases, I've encouraged the students to try and tether some of this final work with their summer internship, so it's not just a paper that gets stuck in their hard drive until infinity and beyond, but it's something they can actually recycle and use in part to make the summer internships that much more productive.
That's fantastic. Another question, just out of my own curiosity, you're going to see a number of companies over there. Is there one company that specifically that you're looking forward to meeting with, and could you kind of just explain what it is they do?
Sure. So I think, and if I'm dodging your questions, it's not for anything other than company confidentiality, but I can tell you that I am particularly excited to go to all four different portions of Asia because of what's happening geopolitically and what's happening from a business standpoint. So, for example, the last time I was in Vietnam, I was in 2002 and 2003, and a lot has changed positively for Vietnam, especially with entry into the World Trade Organization, normalization of relations, and it'll be very interesting for me to see 11 years later how much of those positive reforms have actually come to fruition and what is still a work in progress. In terms of Hong Kong, there's been a new chief executive that has been installed for the past few years. Hong Kong is going through growing pains. Within Chinese, it's called Yiguo Liangzhi, one country, two systems, that it is now reverted to Chinese rule, but yet they are keeping Hong Kong as its special administrative zone, special region, and how those are going to play out in terms of whether the new chief executive is a puppet of the mainland Chinese government, or whether he or she, he in this particular case, has the ability to continue to have Hong Kong-only reforms implemented. The big news in China right now is, of course, the Alibaba IPO, which is coming up this summer. It'll be very interesting to see how the Chinese economy reacts to that. Alibaba has been created with original content from Jack Ma, but it also has made strategic investments in Sina Weibo, which is considered to be the Twitter of China, and other associated properties. And unfortunately, South Korea has gone through the ferry incident. They're still having difficulties with relations with North Korea. They're still making a go at it in terms of the likes of its cable, in terms of what's happening in the government. And I'm very, very excited to see. We were in Seoul last year to see what's changed from 2013 to 2014.
So, and that's extremely interesting. Another question. I'm pretty sure you speak several different languages. Is that a requirement for this course to have some acumen to the other languages, the Asian type of languages?
Great question. That is my hobby. I speak several of the Asian languages as well as European languages, but by design, we do not have any prerequisites except that you have to be a degree-seeking candidate in the MBA, the MSF, that's finance or MSA, accounting in Boston College. This is for graduate work. It's not an undergraduate course, but all of the presentations are given in English. Some of them, depending on the company, might be given in their native language, in which case myself or our guide or somebody else is going to translate. But we really want the students to try and immerse themselves into this experience and not be taking precious time to learn how to say hello and thank you and, you know, where can I change money and where's the bathroom in the four different languages of the cities we're going to be going to.
That's why you tag along. You get to ask all those questions.
Well, that's exactly right. I could find a restroom in any of the cities this year except for Vietnam.
Hey, Greg, that's very interesting. It's very exciting. I can't wait to talk to you when you get back and hear all the great stories. If someone wanted to get in touch with Greg Stoller at Boston College, how would they do that, and how would they get more information about these types of programs that you are offering?
Sure. Thanks, Conrad. My email address at BC is gregory.stoller.1@bc.edu. That's gregory.stoller.1@bc.edu. And our iAsia website is www.ime-, that's not an underscore, but it's more of a hyphen, dash, Asia, A, obviously A-S-I-A, dot Weebly, W-E-E-B-L-Y.com.
Thank you very much, Greg. This is Conrad Martin sitting in for Jeff Davis, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs.